So we're going to start a new topic. We're going to look at, over the course of a few weeks, the husband's monetary rights in his wife's possession. Money, basically, she brings into marriage.
You buy a wife from the
some cheer him yes and some cheer him no. Okay, so we'll start with our first shayla. This is a Maisa Shahoya Kafa. This is a true story. So we have a young couple, a couple who is searching for apartment tenants. The couple come round to a certain apartment and the wife really likes this apartment. The husband asks the owner, how much you prepared to rent out this apartment? And he says, well, that's $1,500 a month. So the husband says, this is too much for me. If you would have said $1,200, I would have taken it. $1,500, I'm not interested. Okay? So the couple leaves. The following day, the owner of the apartment receives a phone call from the wife. And she says, look, I really like your apartment. I want it. So he says, the owner said, well, it's $1,500. Your husband didn't agree. He only wanted $1,200. She said, look, do me a favor. Make a contract between yourself and my husband for $1,200, and I'll pay you every month $300 extra. You get your $1,500. The husband won't know the wiser. So that's what he did. He wrote a contract, $1,200, and he was getting $300 a month from the wife. Eventually, the husband worked out under questioning to his wife. The wife gave in the details and eventually found out that, in fact, she was paying $300 extra per month. So now we have him based in a situation where he had the husband, the wife, and the owner of the apartment. And the husband is claiming, look, I agreed to rent the apartment for $1,200. And he's been getting extra $300 per month.
Whose money? Was it the wife's money or the husband's money?
Getting extra $300. That money which he's getting is stolen money. He has to return the $300 per month. And for now, we're going to have to get $1,200. The renter, the owner of the apartment, says, no, the agreement was $1,500. Everyone knew that's my apartment, this is why I rented for $1,500. The wife is giving me the extra $300. Why do I care where the $300 is coming from? If she doesn't have to pay, you have to pay. That $300, that was the agreement of a part. So therefore I do not need to return any money and you have to keep on paying the ticket. Okay. Does anyone have any ideas how to relate to such a case?
Well, in all likelihood, this couple is going to get divorced and spend all their money on the attorney, so he's not going to get any money.
No, the couple's not getting divorced.
Well, meaning, if it wasn't for the conversation prior to...
Let me summarize for a quick second, yeah? We have a young couple looking for an apartment to rent. They come in, they like the apartment. It was for $1,500, the husband not interested, only $1,200, move away, he doesn't want the apartment. Wife phones up the following day without the knowledge. The husband says, look, write a contract for $1,200 and I'll give you $300 on the side, you'll get your $1,500. It does happen like that for many months. Then the whole story is found out. The husband, who are now in Basin, he's now claiming that $300 back from the owner because he's only agreed for $1,200 and it's stolen money. And the owner saying, firstly, who says it's stolen money? The contract was really for $1,500, even though it's written $1,200, therefore not returning any money, and you still have to continue. Okay. So now...
Does wife have her own money?
Is it stolen money?
Well, it depends whose money it is.
Yes.
I'm going to say is that not knowing anything about how the halachas work here,
okay,
ownership, but Stam, the wife would have gone to a renter and said, I'd like to rent your apartment for our family. I don't think we'd have any shot, right?
I think we would.
You would?
The wife is not authorized to contract.
No, but from the seller's perspective, he would assume that the husband agreed, meaning he wouldn't have
a big mistake.
He would?
A huge mistake.
She rents the deal and they all come into the apartment and are living there together.
She has no authority to bind the husband.
And that was my suggestion. That
okay.
There should be an assumption here that the husband is agreeing. And sometimes you have strategies, good cop
to a deal which he said clearly the day beforehand he's not interested.
It's a negotiating technique, meaning you good cop, bad cop, you come in this way, you come in, you know, it's a way to
if
say...
If he did it with her, he should do it with his knowledge, but he's saying it was without his knowledge.
Yeah, okay. So that, today we're going to discuss the money a woman gives, a general shayla, which is very common, which is related to this halacha. A woman donates money to stocking. Are you allowed to take that money?
So I think Shulchan Aruch says small amounts you're allowed to.
Okay, so we'll start it and develop shayla. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, which didn't work so well, it's my mistake. He says like this, you can listen, I'll read it out. You can't read it. Gabbai stocker. Somebody's collecting money for stocker. Ein mekablim mahanoshim. You can't take money from women.
He's married women.
Yeah, with married women. Ella dovamut. You only can take a little bit, like you said. Avalo dovagodl, not something big. Why? Sheches gosso gazel agonav mishalachem. It's a chazoka that if it's big money, it's stolen money. The kamahu dovamut, what's considered small amount of money? Hakol nefi osha habanin. Money also depends how rich the guy, how poor the guy. If he's a very rich guy, $1,000 is nothing. But if he's a poor guy, $1,000 is a lot. It depends. Hanimidi vestama. This is only when you don't know what the idea of the husband. Does he agree? Does he not agree? You can say, small, he agrees. Big, large, he doesn't. Abu Imam Baal Mocha, but the husband says clearly, I do not want you to give a penny to Stocker. I object. Then I feel a culture who also the couple that means you can't even take a little bit from the wife. So it's clear, in Hilcha Stocker, somebody comes out collecting money, he can only take, if he doesn't know what's the situation in the house, he can only take a little bit from the wife. And if he knows the husband objects, he can't take it. Now, how does this fit with a ritva in Kedushin? I want you to suggest maybe answers. Says in Kedushin that we got a stirim sukim, says the ritva. In one place it says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael b'yichuli chumah. Speak to Klal Yisrael, the b'nei Yisrael. And they should donate money to the Mishkan. The Bnei Yisrael, it's the men, not the women. But another place it says, "Vayovu hanoshim al hanoshim kol nidaleiv." That who actually came to give money to the Mishkan? Men and women both came to give money. The Shabbos, Christmas, poultry, zav. They gave all expensive items. So how is it possible that the women donated money? If you're telling me that women can't give money to Stocker, only small amounts, how is it possible that they gave money to the Mishkan?
But the husbands gave, it was Magala Das, that they were okay with it.
They're okay with what they gave. Up to here, they're okay. With another $100, who says they're okay?
The women women weren't donating money, they were donating jewelry, and that belongs to them.
Jewelry doesn't belong to women, we'll see. That jewelry doesn't belong to
women. Right?
We'll see what
they got it either as a gift or as a Yerusha. They got it either as a gift
okay.
or as a husband.
You said that belongs to them? Okay. We'll see. Maybe it does, maybe not. Maybe it's their money. says the Ritva, lo kasha. Lo kasha. Hosam noshim ma'atzbon heviu, lo nistavu kakasha. The sivu was only for men. The women came as well. But the sivu was only for men. So according to the Ritva, the men were told to bring, but the women also came. So you can't answer that the Torah said the women have to bring. No, according to the Ritva, only the men bring. And the women, out of their own, the diva slaves, they also came. So the shayas, how do they bring? We just learned in Hilchos Stocker they come. So, the first suggestion, I would like you to give me a suggestion. How do they bring their own donations? So we heard one suggestion. Well, it's their own money which they brought into the marriage. Yes? That's one suggestion.
Actually, I mean, they got married before Matan Torah, so it was probably theirs anyway. It's not shayach that their money belonged to their husband.
They got married after Matan Torah. Yeah?
No, before Matan Torah.
Yeah, but they had kedushin.
So that's money that they're bringing into the marriage.
So money bringing into the marriage.
No, or jewelry they're bringing
into the marriage. That's the first suggestion. Jewelry was just brought into the marriage. Yeah? That's first.
They had their husband's permission.
Had that husband's permission. Okay, that's the simple terms. You're saying there are exceptions to it. Okay, let us see. Yes. There's a halacha. The Shulchan Aruch Ibn Ezra. What about money which you bring into the marriage? Says the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara Ksubos. Pay yourself, ketzad. A woman brings money into the marriage. The halacha is that Chazal says that money, even though in theory belongs to the wife, we are giving rights of that money to the husband to use that money and get benefit from that money. What rights? He can take the money, not spend it, but he can make money out of that money. Nitzay Malug, it's called. Money which a woman brings in is called Nitzay Malug, which means the husband has rights to use the money to create money. And the Mela, the woman can't spend it, because then she's taking away that right. So any money she brings in, she can't do what she likes with, because that also affects the rights which the husband has. So therefore, he can't say that the jewellery which the wife brought in, or the money which she brought into the marriage, that she can do what she likes. No, she needs permission from the husband.
Jewellery doesn't have a different halacha.
No, has different halacha when you get divorced, but not in during marriage.
You can be mevatel the agreement and say, I want to keep my wages, and you.
Not no. What's Nitzay Malug? Nitzay Malug said, why did Rabbanon give rights to the husband? Very long said. So he said, Rabbanon said, we want you to have rights to the husband in her money she brings in, because we want to say that since you have rights, therefore if she ever gets captured, you'll be more clear to redeem her. So in order for us to machive you, to redeem her if she gets captured by the goyim, so therefore we said, compensation, you get rights in the money brings in. And that type of agreement, no one can say, oh, I give up my rights of being redeemed and you give up your rights to have in the marriage, well, any rights to my money. No, that is a halacha which cannot be changed. And therefore, the rights can never be released for the husband on her money. And if so, she can't do what she likes with her money.
Isn't there a mitzvah for everyone to redeem captives?
Yes, but a mitzvah is not a chiyuv. It is a chiyuv. We force the husband to redeem her.
But that's not say a day, huh? She can be.
That's different.
What?
Not say a day,
huh? But that's not a kash on the mishkan. This takana didn't exist at the time.
Okay. That is one answer.
What?
Is it Takana? No, next same Malug it's called.
I was asking, was one of the Takanas Usha?
No, it wasn't Usha.
That's to do Yerusha.
We'll get there in a few weeks. Now, what about money she earns during marriage? On that, the Shulchan Aruch says, Maisiya Telebala, any money she earns also goes to the husband. The only money she brings into marriage he has rights to, but any money she earns through her work also belongs to the husband. Why? Keneged Buzon Asel. Because he is supporting her. So in order that we say we want you to support your wife and feed her and clothe her, therefore we say you can get rights to her wages. You support her, you can get rights to her wages.
His rights is the same thing as the money she brings in, or it's more rights?
This is total rights to the wages. He has total rights over those wages. She has no rights whatsoever of the money she produces. Why? Because he's supporting her. So now, we have two possible answers for the Mishnah. Either it's money she brought in, or money she worked for. Because these are takanas which Chazal instituted. At the time of the Mishkan, these takanas didn't exist. So therefore, in the time of the Mishkan, all the money she brought in, all the money she worked, actually belonged to the wife. And therefore, that's a possibility of a teretz. And one of the Rishonim, Baal Tosfos says, is a teretz for how could women bring to the Mishkan money, donate. I know they're not allowed to donate money because the money belongs to the husband. Time of the Mishkan, the money didn't belong to the husband. So now we have answered up the question. Shulchan Aruch says a woman cannot donate money to Stocker because the money belongs to the husband. And it is seen in the Mishkan that women could donate money to the Mishkan. So how does that fit with Shulchan Aruch? The answer is, at the time of the Mishkan, the money which she brought into marriage, all the money she works, belongs to the wife and not belongs to the husband. But at the time of Shulchan Aruch, there's already takana from the times of the Gemara that any money she brings in, the husband has rights to use, and any money she actually works for in marriage, that money totally belongs to the husband. At that stage, since he has rights on that money which she has brought in or worked for, any money which she donates to Stocker, she has no rights to donate to Stocker. It doesn't belong to her to donate, it belongs to the husband already. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Somebody comes knocking on the door, he cannot accept money as Stocker from a wife, because it belongs to the husband. Who says the husband agrees? Little bit, we can assume he agrees, but a bigger donation, we can't accept from the husband. From the wife, because maybe the husband doesn't agree. Okay. So we rectified that. Now, let us develop the Shiloh Stocker, and we'll go further. The note for Yehuda was ask a Shiloh. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch says a wife cannot donate money because that money belongs to the husband. It's not hers to donate. But what is the situation if the husband is not giving enough Stocker? He's machoyer to give Stocker, the husband, and he's not giving enough. Can the wife donate money because really she is doing what the husband's machoyer to do in any case? Okay, it belongs to the husband, but the husband is machoyer to give Stocker, and therefore can the wife donate money to Stocker even without the permission of the husband in order to fulfill the chiyuv of the husband?
If that was mutter, any gabbai tzedakah could also take the money from the husband and say, I'm just helping him do his chiyuv.
How do you know how much stocker he gives?
So you know, someone who knows. If someone knows him and sees us, you just go in there and take the money out.
No, you're saying there's nothing between a wife and a stranger.
Right.
Okay. Well, practically, you'll be in jail for that. He will stay married generally with a wife. That was the Shiloh note of Yehuda. Says the note of Yehuda. Yosa Horosa Milo. So, I agreed to your pesach, chas v'sholom, lekabel memena, how, chas v'sholom, to take any money from the woman, v'hu gezel gomel, to take any money from the woman at all is gezel. Afsha basin kofen asoka, even though the basin have a right to go and force him to give stocker when he's not giving enough. The common Mishom is Isha, the shofet. But who made the wife into a judge? She's not the judge of her husband. Some wives are, think they're the judge of the husband. They're not the judge of the husband. They can't force the husband to do things. And therefore, if she gives money without the knowledge of the husband, even though he's not giving enough, and even though he's required to give more, it's Gezel Gomor, says the note of Yerushalayim. And the Isha is Pesul of the Gomor. She can't be a judge. It's possible to be a judge. Okay. So we see it from the note of Yehuta that not only can't she give money, stocker, she can't even give a stocker when the husband's not giving stocker. She also can't give stocker because that money, which belongs to the husband, whether it's money she brought into the marriage, money which she actually created for her wages, those belong to the husband. And therefore she can't give stocker, even when the husband's not giving stocker. What happens, here's a scenario. Stocker organization phones up the house. The wife answers the phone. And they say, we got a very important cause, please donate to us. Can you have a donation for me? And so she says, you know what? I think it's a very chashuv cause. I want to donate 100 shekels a month to the organization. I promise to give 100 shekels a month to the organization. What are those words called?
Never.
It's a neder. She's making a neder to Stockholm. I'm promising to give you 100 shekels a month. Is her husband mechuyev to give the money in order that she's mekayim that neder? She's made a neder to Stocker. She's mechuyev mishum neder now to give money to the Stocker. Is the husband mechuyev now to give over the money to the Stocker because of her neder?
Why should he do? Why should he do?
Because we've got a conscience. Who does the money really belong to before Chazal did anything? She brings money into the marriage. She creates money from her work. It belongs to the wife. Yeah? Come along Chazal and say, the husband has rights to it. Yeah. He has rights to the money he brings in to use and make more money. Yeah. He has rights to her wages in order that he should support her, so we give his rights to the wages. Fine. What's that called? That's the shibbut. He has rights on her money. Normally we say a concept, a neder can mafia mede shibbut.
Oh, so you're saying if she has money...
She's made a promise.
But from my money...
And she has money which she brought into marriage, or she's money she creates through her work, which really belongs to her, but we give rights to the husband. But she's made a promise to Stocker, which is like a neder. Does that mean now that that money has to go to Stocker, and the husband has to give it over to Stocker?
There's only money that she's producing that you have to sign.
That is a question which was asked to Rav Vosner and Rav Moshe Feinstein. A woman makes a neder to Stocker, and she's got money which really belongs to her, but Chazal gave certain rights of that money to the husband. Does the fact that she promised to Stocker mean that that promise overrides his rights or not, and then forced the husband to give over that money to Stocker? That was the question. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Vosner, both of them say the same thing. Some people say, you know, the husband has to pay. But, it's not true. If it's a big amount, he's not required to pay at all. Because, her neder is not chal. Can I give the rights of the husband?
The neder is not chal?
The neder can't overpower the rights of the husband. The husband has rights in the money to use to make other money, or he owns totally her wages, She makes a nater. That nater can't overpower his rights, and therefore he's not mechuyev to give that money, which originally belonged to her, to stock her. He's not mechuyev. Even so, therefore, the 100 shekels that she promised to stock her, she's not mechuyev. He's not mechuyev to pay. So let us summarize the halakhos we so ruled so far. But the Chachomin made so strong that Tachana that it overrides that thing.
Overrides
the Midrash? Yeah, they can. When it comes to munching things, they can. Yeah? So what have we learned? We've learned money which a woman brings into marriage is the husband has rights to use to make more money, and she can't do what she likes without permission of the husband for that. We've learned that money she works for during marriage totally belongs to the husband, and she has no rights over. Yeah. Therefore we learned, somebody who comes around collecting stock is not allowed to take stock from a wife, because who says she's got permission to give the stock? If it's a little amount of stock, we can assume the husband doesn't mind. But if it's a large amount, he will mind, and therefore you're not allowed to take it, and it's gezel to take money from a wife. Stock money from a wife. And even if she promises on the phone, which is like a nater to stock, I'm going to give 100 shekels a month. And maybe you should say that now that nater is hung on her money, which takes the rights of the husband away. No, says the poskim, his rights are stronger than the nater, and therefore there's no chiyuv on the husband to fulfill her nater that she promised. Okay.
How can a store owner take a wife's credit card when she's buying shoes? How does he know that the husband is...
Because the husband gave her the credit card.
Maybe not.
First of all, she's borrowing money with the credit card. He's not using the husband's money. She's borrowing money from the bank when she gives the credit card.
So she pays with cash.
So who gave her the cash? It's nice in the Kol Yom that a husband gives her money to spend.
What is it? It's a hazaka.
That's like things which are normal life together, women in charge of buying the clothes and things for the children, that's considered like a dover kotel, a small expense,
not
which
you can
assume is okay, an apple.
That's an expensive pair of shoes.
Because there are plenty before, of women that buy cars on their own.
Before, if it's a small expense, then it's okay, you can accept, because you assume the husband doesn't mind. It's a big expense, you do. What are we saying? It belongs to the husband. She got no rights, but on small things, we assume the husband doesn't mind. What's called small? Small donations or normal expenses? Okay. Let us now ask the final question before we get back to Usher. Okay. She makes a promise of 100 shekels a month. We say that doesn't take away the rights of the husband. Is she still mechuyev misad neder to actually pay that? Has she got a debt on it for her for life or not? Or do we say, yeah, any promises that a woman makes to stalker don't mean anything?
Number two, you can't, for example, make a neder or do an avera.
This is not an avera.
But she doesn't know an
answer. Not also for her to give stock.
It's also for her to take her own money.
But it's not also for her to give stock.
We're saying that any marriage she brings, any money she brings into marriage, or any money she creates for wages, are not hers.
Could she own anything?
At the moment we're saying no.
She can own
her husband. What are you going to say? Because if she can own anything, then she promises money to stock.
So, is the nether chal basically asking? It's valid and she has to pay, but she's got no way of paying. All we're saying is not chal at all.
What?
Can't the husband cancel the nether?
Not that kind of nether. It's only in the Dorim Beinu Levena.
Only in the Dorim which affects him personally.
This you can't even mafik because you're making marriage with somebody else.
He doesn't pay money.
No! Halachically, he does not have to pay money. But does she have to pay money when she gets the chance? Meaning, divorce. When she gets divorced, or her husband dies, and she's no longer married, and therefore there's no more rights of the husband which is preventing her using the money, then she's more free to pay the 100 shekels a month which she promised 20 years ago. On that, revolting sense. Ramosha says.
Can we argue?
Ramosha says, sorry. Ratshin is Amun Zash take Chayevis le Shalom Neta. When she Taka gets divorced, or the husband dies, she is Mechuyev to pay then at that stage. So what we're saying is the promises she makes to the daughter are valid promises. But is the husband Mechuyev to fulfill those promises? No. Because he has rights to that money, he didn't make those promises, he's not Mechuyev to give up those rights to fulfill her promises. But the promises are valid, and therefore whenever she has total control over money, then she has to fulfill all the promises she made to the stock manager in the lifetime.
What if she never has control?
When she never has control, she never has control.
And never
she never had
over,
money.
She over an affair?
It's like, no, she, oh, like, she had no money. She owed money without having any money to pay. Okay, so then Ramosha was asked the final shot. What happens if the stocker took the money, being Amaratsim and not knowing the halacha, they took the money from the wife?
And she's sending him 100 shekels.
Yeah, she's sending the money to Anna. Are they mechuyev to give it back? Are they mechuyev to give it back? They accepted money from the wife where you weren't allowed to. Are you mechuyev to give it back?
Or you should be.
Says Ramosha. In Kavan Nachalik the stocker, if you've already given out the stocker, and the Gabbai stocker can't get the money which he's already given out to the Aniyim.
Oh, you mean you went to a Gabbai who gave it out to other people?
Im Chayv a Gabbai Shanit the Lehem the Shayim, Dinzer who Kehizik Nisim Elub. It's like somebody coming along and breaking the nochosim which belong nitzei meluk, which belong to the husband and the wife jointly. She brings in money, we say that's called nitzei meluk, she has rights to that money, and the husband also has rights. Somebody comes along and is mazik that mechitz. Let's say it's a cow. A woman brings a cow into marriage. Yeah? That cow belongs to the wife, but everything that cow produces belongs to the husband. Some along comes along and damages the cow. What's the halacha? How much does he have to pay? Who does he have to pay? Halacha, he has to pay the wife for the cow, and he has to pay the husband for the milk. Yeah. When you took the money from the woman, which is nitzei meluk, belonging to the husband as well, and it's spent, how much do you have to pay in return? Do you have to pay the wife? No, because she gave permission. So who's lost out? The husband never gave permission for the stocker. What did he lose from that money? What did he lose from the money which was taken out its permission and was given to the stocker? What did the husband lose?
The earnings he could make.
The earnings he could make. So how much do you have to pay for the husband? The earnings they make. How do you work out the earnings they can make from $100? He has rights to the earnings of the $100 which you donated. You've destroyed those rights by giving it to this Oni and not being able to return it. Therefore, you have to compensate him. How do you work it out? How do you work it out? Promotion fine size. Then you have the bank shu gum came Mechir Shmir but Derek Ulam. It's normal to leave money in the bank. Therefore Vada Yeshkiv Gamal Ishu Mela Hoyumarbiya Kharibish in the bank. So therefore we can assume for sure that the husband has lost out what? The ribbis that he could have got from the bank. The woman puts money into the bank, the money creates money, ribbis. That ribbis belongs to the husband. And therefore, by taking the $100, you prevented the possibility of that ribbis. And
how many years?
You have to pay that ribbis.
How many years? 100 years with the ribbis?
You have to pay that ribbis.
For how long?
All the time that they stay married.
Who has to pay?
He wouldn't necessarily have the money in the bank.
And that's only for the same look. If it was money that she earned while they were married, they would also owe the husband the carry
yes.
as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, either you work it out. The stocker fund will then have to work it. You tell me how they're going to pay. What are the two options for the stocker fund now to make? They have to pay the husband. What do they have to pay? They have to pay the loss of income from the money which they took away from him, which is the rivers in the bank. So what do you think they would choose to do?
Pay monthly.
Would they pay monthly or not?
They've
got really two options. What are the two options?
Either pay 100 shekels now or one shekel a month for many months, you never know.
Yeah. So therefore they'll make a decision. It's up to them to make a decision. They'll make a decision. We can either pay the $400 back. You know, it's not worth it, $100 back. The young couple, the 20-year-olds, they could stay married until the 80s, 60 years. Every month I have to give them 5 shekel a month, 10 shekel a month. It's not going to be worth it. So I work out the mathematics, end up paying more than I even took. Yeah?
Unless they touch, but after this, the marriage won't last long.
They said they have to make a decision. What's worth it? So Me'ika had the Namukhul to pay the rivers every month. If they want to avoid that, because they think they end up paying more than even the principal which they took, then the way to avoid it is just give back the whole principal. Yeah? That's how she is. But the Mukhoyev,
I would think it would make a difference in the method that she gave us about them. In other words, if it was by cash or check or credit card. If it was check or credit card, she wasn't taking the husband's money. A, she wasn't taking her husband's money. B, her husband already pre-authorized her to send checks. So when she sends them a check, all she's doing is telling the bank, loan this guy money for me. And the bank listens to him. So it's not the husband's money. The husband may be out as a result, but
yes,
they didn't steal from the husband.
So what's the name? Called?
The wife stole from the husband.
Well, have you discussed it already? That's Grover.
I don't think it's even Grover.
Grover.
Yeah.
She's Grover. They're called.
She's been Grover.
Yeah, and they also are. So good for damaging his money for Grover. The five b'day shemayim to pay. Not five b'day ultimate. Five b'day shemayim.
You think that's Grover? If they're.
Why? Because they're negligent. Because you're not allowed to accept any money from a woman. And if you do, you are an amorous, didn't learn halacha. And if you do, you're negligent, she damages money. Negligently damage it directly if it's money, and therefore halachically, you're mukhoyev. This basin will force the stalker to pay. Or, b'day shemayim if it's grama. True check. Now let's go back to our shayla. You tell me what would be the halacha. Let's repeat the shayla. Reuben was looking for his apartment to rent. The husband and wife came round to look at the apartments. They said, the wife liked the apartment. The husband said, you know, how much is it? $1,500 a month to rent. Husband said, too much. I'm only willing to pay $1,200, not interested, $1,500, sorry, bye-bye. Wife phones up the following day and says, look, I like your apartment so much, I want to make a contract. Make a contract with the husband for $1,200 so he doesn't know the wiser, and I'll give you $300 for my money every month. I'll compensate you the extra $300. That's what he did and carried on for many months. Is the husband now, when it comes to Basin, have a right to claim back the $300 which she was paying every month to the owner of the apartment against his will?
Well, we know the husband was Vadei Mocha. So
right.
It would depend if it's the wife's money or the husband's money or Nitzvei Nulut. If it's independently the wife's money, then the husband has no right to get it back. But if it's Nitzvei Nulut or Maasei Yodea and there was no Tanai, then he should be able to get it back.
Maybe something different though here is, if there's a market value, and everyone agrees that, let's say, realtors, the fair market value really was $1,500, so the husband is getting a $1,500 value. And then maybe say, therefore, it's irrelevant about DAS.
The husband's got a contract for $1,200, then he can't pay $1,200. Somebody said on the phone, I'll give you the difference, it's irrelevant.
No, verbal agreements are also money.
You've signed a contract with a guy, you have to pay $1,200. What do you mean, a verbal contract? Obviously, the verbal contract is invalid. He signed a contract with a guy for $1,200.
But if everyone agrees, it's also a verbal agreement?
But everyone has to agree.
Actually, verbal agreements aren't valid by real estate.
You can't say it's agreed when it's signed a verbal written contract with $1,200. They have to agree to it.
So what does people think? What's as far as agree? You're saying if it's depends, you're saying, what are you saying, Eric?
I'm saying the guy's entitled to the money back in any case.
He's entitled to get the money back, the husband?
Sure.
Yeah. So like you said, the interest on the money that...
So if the money she used was money she made for wages, which totally belongs to the husband, therefore all $300 was given was stolen money from the husband. What's the halakha when you steal money from the husband knowing it's stolen, because he knew it wasn't the consent of the husband? Then the halakha is you have to give back stolen money, so he has to give back the $300. If the money was hers which he brought into marriage, where the right to the husband is not for the actual $300 but for the profit which $300 could get in the bank, then the halakha is, yeah,
you could choose.
That's what's the halakha?
You could choose either the Karen or the Rivers.
The halakha is that he can either get the Karen or the Rivers. Whatever he feels is easier for him.
And nowadays the rules would be lower.
From the time onwards, not allowed to take any money from the wife, not allowed to take that extra $300.
But can he kick them out of the house? And say, you know. Again, his assumption was based on an extra $300.
He made the wrong assumption.
So, can you kick out the house? Can you kick out of the house?
Kick the wife out of the house.
So if the wife is also signed on the contract, then you can kick the out of the house. Because your agreement is between the husband and the wife. And the wife's you were willing to rent the apartment to the husband and the wife based on this contract, as long as 1500 came, 1200 came from the husband, and 300 came from the wife.
I mean, that's showing their partners.
Yes. But if the contract's only made with the husband, so it's like Eric has said, I rent to you based on somebody's promise of some sort of money. Yeah. What's the deal? I've got a chiv to pay you. I've signed this contract to pay you. My chiv is 1200 for the rent. I was expecting extra 300 over there. You're expecting, but you didn't get it to the end. So you're not entitled.
What if he didn't know the husband was not masking, but afterwards it came out that he wasn't masking? Does that make a difference? In other words, he did gezel without realizing that it was.
That makes no difference, because the halakha is anything which the wife gives, it belongs to the husband. So unless you can assume there's consent here, you're not allowed to take it. When can we assume there's consent? On small donations to stock up, or things which normally a wife buys for the house. But if wife comes in and says, I want to buy a car, you're not allowed to sell a car to her.
You know, that's common today. That's
very common.
You're not allowed to sell a car to her.
But it happens every day.
Without the consent of the husband.
You what's it?
I buy the cars.
That's because you have the insurance.
It doesn't matter that nowadays the wives feel they have equal rights and they can go and buy things.
Feeling is feelings, and halachas is halachas.
No,
let's say I give someone, not a wife, I just give someone a signature authority on my checking account.
Yeah,
and he goes in and buys a car for me. What?
I want to see you do that.
I actually have an employee that I do. There's nothing in there for him to spend. But and he goes and buys a car for me. So I can renege on that deal, even though I authorized him already with the bank to sign any checks he wants.
We'll discuss joint bank accounts, what's the status of money in that in 2 weeks.
Ah, okay. That makes a big difference.
If a woman
or joint
comes
credit
in,
cards.
Yeah.
Right.
And says, I'm going to give you cash. Yeah, that's for sure we're holding at the moment. Any big item a woman wants to pay with cash, you're not allowed to accept without getting consent from the husband.
Really?
Joint bank accounts, we'll discuss.
So,
right, because you can put a spending limit on the credit card. And
right, but if I know a woman is married and she comes in and wants to buy something, so I'm not allowed to sell it to her.
Without getting consent from the husband, if it's a big item.
In cash.
In
so
cash.
I can't make
cash.
I can't make a contract putting the woman's name. I have to put both names on.
That's for sure. That's just for your own benefit. You should have the husband's name, because the husband
sometimes
could always say, I'm not clear if what the wife is.
Sometimes I only deal with
it. Yeah.
but he pays.
Yeah. He's mukhayif to pay if he gets benefits. Not as the contract. As for,
well, in the rental case, he's getting benefits. In our rental case, he's getting benefits.
Yes.
Oh, but there he had an agreement with the guy.
There he had an actual agreement. Yeah. Okay. So let's now move on to our second shayla. We're going to start, and you can think about it as we continue next week. It says like this.
Can we discuss it with our wives?
Yes, you can discuss this with your wives.
Oh, yeah.
This year they may not like. In next few shirim they may like better.
Don't discuss it.
I'm not telling this one at the Shabbat table this week.
You'll be back for my share. I have one person next week here.
Yes.
You can tell them next week will be better. Okay. Here's a Shaila Cantor, the Basin in Yerushalayim. The Rabbanut based in Yerushalayim. And was dealt with by, I think, Rabbi Yashiv when he was on the Basin of the Shaila like this. Would husband and wife get divorced? During their lifetime together as husband and wife, they bought a kubura, a base of forest, a grave together. Yeah. Harm of Luchas, two plots of land, going to be buried. How was it paid for? It was paid already. Her plot of land was bought with her wages which she created. His plot of land was bought with his wages. He bought works and he bought wages in, and he bought land. She worked, bought wages in, and she bought the plot of land together. Now they get divorced. They obviously don't want to be buried together. There's a halakhic issue as well, being buried together to get divorced.
Really?
Yes.
You could.
So, the husband wants to sell the plots of land. Both plots. Yeah. The wife doesn't. Why? Because they had a daughter who was Nifta during the marriage, and she was buried there. And she promised to the girl before she was Nifta, because she was ill, and that, don't worry, I always will be with you. Even after death, I'll be with you. So she promised to be buried next to her. So therefore, she doesn't want to sell her plot of land. The husband says, what do you mean? The land, plot of land was bought with your wages. The wages belong to me. And therefore, it's my plot of land. And therefore, I'm selling both plots. And you forget, you buy some other
crew. If he buys you something,
so, that's one question. A husband buys something to the wife, does that mean it now becomes hers or not? We know the money she creates for wages belongs totally to the husband, because he's supporting her. Does money that he actually used to buy her something mean that it belongs to her? That's one question. Second question, here we ask, look, where'd you get the money to buy this? Who looks at wages? How did you live? We also lived on wages. What happened over here? Well, during that particular period where we wanted to buy these plots, I worked overtime in order to save money, and I used that overtime money to pay for the plot of land. So the other shaila is, that we say wages belong to husbands, is there a shir? Doesn't matter what amount of wages she brings in, it all belongs to the husband. Even though he's just supporting her of $2,000 a month, but she's bringing a 50,000 shekel a month wage, that all belongs to the husband. Because we say wages in respect to, you have to get the wages because you're supporting her. Well, you're only giving me $2,000. I'm giving you $5,000. Does it mean it all belongs to the husband? Or do we say it has to balance it out in some sort of way?
Is it like a shifter, like an hour? Like, if she finds something, does that belong to him as well?
Yes. Yeah. So those are the two silos you can think about for next week. Whether you can sell the grave or not.
She feels like a shifter.
Okay.
Not because of me.
Have a good Shabbos.
Okay.